JG 1. Number 2B.
Yes, so we begin and we see now that looking at the class outline for today, that the subject is the science of the Christ idea. And we can see how it is the science of all sciences. And therefore, this morning, we're going to look at the subject of Christ science and world issues. And this afternoon and evening, we will take the subject then of the science that governs changes as given in the textbook of science, theology, and medicine, primarily then the principal tome. We want to continue working with the model of being and seeing, therefore, the place value always of our subject as it is seen from that particular standpoint. Last evening we saw how our whole life is involved with this model of being. In fact, ye are the city. Ye are the model of being in operation. There is no separation between God and man. If this is the model of God, then it's the model of man. Because the goal of love is to have the structure of our consciousness and the structure of reality one and the same thing. That's divine science, the all in all. And so we go through science in thinking and past science in thinking into being itself. It's a model of being. It's not the model of thinking. It's not even a model of mind. It's a model of our life experience. We are experiencing what we are studying, and we must get that atmosphere of God. This is what I wanted to build up last night. Not so much the words and what we said and what we looked at in the way of transparencies, but much more seeing that, oh, this is my life, this is my being, this model comes alive. It's not just a flat two-dimensional structure on a page, of which I, over the years, was reading what is the level of science itself, what is the level of divine science, why is life at the point of divine science as the word, why is life, truth, and love at the point of the word at absolute Christian science. Why is mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love the word at Christian science? This is just a wordy, intellectual word game. A Magister Ludi or a glass bead game as you have it. If we just keep it as the letter, we might as well be out playing chess or bridge or some other game. This isn't a game. This isn't an intellectual exercise. This is our spiritual life experience being modeled for us through this diagram. And we see now, and we'll see more and more as we go along, that the world is asking and trying to solve this modeling problem. How can we model reality, they ask. And so we saw a few slides on how they were trying to model reality amongst many, 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 many that they have. I just chose a very few. But this is the goal, and we have this, therefore, as our model of our life experience, our map of our life experience, our chart of our life experience, but it's a life experience. And so we go through symbols and past symbols into reality itself. That's the most important thing to see. That, for example, the symbol of science itself, that level, when we study what is the level of science itself, we are just using that study as a symbol then to open up the realm of an experience called the realm of the infinite principle, the I Am, where mind is being its own infinite mind, and it knows no error, matter, disease, sin, sickness. There is a state of consciousness where matter, error, death is unknown, and that's a present possibility. If we didn't believe it, we wouldn't be Christian Scientists. If we believe that we have to die to attain eternal life, it's a lie. In fact, Mrs. Eddy says that we must teach mortals the fact that man must not die. And if we do, we'll reproduce those who have gone on. She wasn't fooling around with us. We fool around with ourselves. We accept the laws of limitation. It's just within our consciousness. It has nothing to do with God. God did not say you must go through this experience. It is just an error of consciousness. Jesus didn't believe in the time periods. He didn't believe the working out of the problem. He only would say, behold, the field is white with harvest. He came right forth from the Father, from divine science. His origin was God. He said, I'm in the world, but I'm not of it. He never accepted any time periods, space periods, or any belief that he was born in matter, lives in matter, grows old in matter, and dies out of matter. That is an illusion and a lie, and it must be overcome. In fact, Mrs. Eddy said, old age is nothing but a disease to be overcome. It is a lie. And it really is annoying when, as Christian Scientists, and I hear it amongst our own selves, where we say, oh, well, principle must have meant for me to be sick, or principle must have meant for so-and-so to pass on. It's better for them. It isn't better for them. What's wrong with this plane of existence? It's life in and of God that's buying into the illusion. And that's why Jesus said to Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth to where my standpoint is. Come out of your belief that you have been born in matter, live in matter, grow old in matter, and die out of matter. It's tough stuff that is Christian Science. And as Max says, it's not for the faint-hearted. It isn't easy to be a real divine scientist. We know that. It is hard to stick to the focal point of spirit and never look to the right or to the left. But we have the model of being. We have all these exercises to train ourselves to do it. And year after year, my goodness, many of us have been together for 20 years since, well, when Max started coming in 67, a lot of them still at the summer school. I've known since the 67. That's a long time. Though I came into this subject with the Kapler probably in 62, 63, but around 67 started attending the summer schools and, well, classes. So we see that it takes what looks like a linear development, it looks like an evolution, it looks like a being, it looks like that being is making itself known through the becoming, only because of the resistance within consciousness. Mrs. Eddy said if Jesus' disciples would have accepted what he had given, they would have ushered in the millennium at that time. We aren't dealing with time periods. And when we come to the 7,000 year period, the seventh day said, and God ended and rested, that means all time periods come to an end in divine science. All space periods come to an end. We live in another realm of spirit, which is timeless and spaceless. It's the fourth dimension of spirit, not what Einstein was talking about. His space-time continuum goes on within the realm of space and time. Time has to do with space. But in the fourth dimension of spirit, it's a timeless, spaceless, ever-present nowness, which is here and now. And this is what the model of being is training us to do, is to go out from science itself, out from the infinite one, to feel that infinite one as the white light around the whole universe, including Earth, including all mankind, including us. We are that white light in operation. That's just a symbol for God, a symbol for all the synonymous terms in operation. That's the symbol for the city. And on Divine Science, that principle is love. We're surrounded by love, the field of love. They talk in the world today of unified field theories. Instead of matter and elements as bits and parts, those bits and parts become fields. The elements become fields, and the fields become forces. The forces become thought forces which become mind forces. But this is all going on within fields, and the fields are what Mrs. Eddy called the realm of God. The realm of love is a field of love. That field force around us is love, making subject and object always one through the Christ translation and retranslation through the algorithm of the binary translation and retranslation. That's all that's going on. That's love's plan to tie everything, principle and its idea, as one. That's the goal causality, that's a oneness causality, that's a wholeness causality, that's a downward causality that's happening. So we see that our responsibility is to respond now to the new logic, to always reason from cause to effect. Mrs. Eddy made this very clear, of course, in her textbook, especially in the sixth chapter, where she shows, now, I've shown you the first five chapters and how to build up finally to the standpoint of science. And true science is always correct reasoning, and correct reasoning is always from premise to conclusion, from cause to effect, she says. She says, correct reasoning is reasoning from cause to effect. In the science of mind, we begin with mind, which can only be understood through its idea and never from its opposite matter. We can never learn anything from matter, from the effect, from the phenomenon. We must always reason from God. And that's the new birth. And this is where we take the class. Always coming from our divine origin. See everything from the way mind would see it, spirit would see it, soul would see it, principle would see it, life would see it, truth would see it, love would see it. If God didn't say it, it wasn't said. Think what that does to gossip. All these people who want to gossip about so-and-so and this and waste their hours, Mrs. Seddy said, on idle small-mindedness because they don't get the subject and they won't admit it. And they waste their time just talking about people and things and what they think they do and oh my goodness and et cetera, et cetera. It is not reasoning from principle to idea. If God doesn't say it, it wasn't said about us, about the universe, about the earth, or about us individually. If the first record of creation doesn't say it, there's nothing recorded about us except what's in the first record of creation. We have no penalties when we go out from God. All is forgiven. Go and sin no more, Jesus said. He didn't say forever and ever you're going to be with hell and damnation and the gossip is going to follow you forever. He said no. He said if you go out from principle to idea, that the only record written about you is the first record of creation and that's the only thing God knows. Everything else is a nothing and it doesn't matter. We have to be so big in our lives not to be self-righteous. Because I think I'm so good, the other one's so bad, huh? All that goes on in that realm of reasoning from effect to cause. We've got to stop it, and we should stop others from doing it. If it goes on, get up and walk away. We have got to be divine scientists. It's so important. So important. And therefore, Einstein said, if he was always questioning himself, saying, what would the world look like from the speed of light? And he found out with his E equals MC squared. That went on since he said he was little. He wondered what it would look like. We should say, what does the world look like out from the level of science itself? That's the only thing that's real. What does the level look out from divine science? That's the only thing that's real. Jesus beheld in science the perfect man. That's all that matters. This sinning mortal man doesn't matter. I'm not going to make a reality out of that. That didn't happen. When somebody came in to see Mrs. Eddy, a woman rushed in quickly. Mrs. Eddy looked right at her and said, he never fell. She never opened the mouth, this person that came in to see Mrs. Eddy. And Mrs. Eddy just looked and said, he never fell. And the woman went home and the little boy was healed instantaneously of the belief that he had fallen. And nothing was said, except Mrs. Eddy would not accept the fact. And how she knew Is this of the divine mind? All she knew that that woman had to know was that point. We cannot believe a lie. She says, we're going through this becoming for the second record of creation for the only reason to learn the cause of error and the effect of error and to never believe a lie. Never. It's wonderful, and it works. If one can only attest, I can tell you through my only life experience, it works. It's harder than heck to do it. But if one does it, we're the happiest people in the world, in spite of what all goes around us, and we all know what goes on around us, and we all know that. But we're happy in spite of what goes on around us. The universe, including man, including ourselves, have to go through what looks like a phase transition out of Egypt, through the wilderness, into the promised land. And we must all do it. And we can't judge the other for that experience. We all must come out of Egypt. We all must go through the promised land. And we must all go through the wilderness, and we all must enter into the promised land. And we can't, Jesus said, judge no man along the path. We all have the right to do that. The wonderful thing about it too, she said that revelators will take their place, but they won't be deified. In religion, we deify the revelator, and my goodness, if they look like they don't fulfill some human situation, then all heck comes down on them. We don't allow everyone to be naturally along the path, to be evolving from Egypt through the wilderness into the promised land. We're all in it together. None of us are deities. None of us are gods. None of us are goddesses. We were born of the flesh. It must be a discovery. But we're learning from God's eye view we are. And so therefore, what we can do is to take that perfection. It's so important. Again, in Mrs. Eddy's household, it said of her that she came in one day and just said, I am perfect. And her husband at the time said, oh, Mary. And she said, I am perfect. And he said, oh, Mary. Well, he knew her from the daily experience. And she demanded her perfection. And you see, so that's how we should see it. And this is something that, let's get into that rhythm. Even if we say it, the next one will say, oh, you're not so hot. You know how when we try to help someone in science and they take one look at us and say, that's just what they say. Oh, yeah? Well, let me tell you about you and what you have done. You're not so big after all. So we have to, in our life, take that standpoint. We must. So therefore, this is what's going on, that we see surrounded that infinite light of God, principle itself, and the realm of love, the all in law, forcing us through the Christ idea to bring to us what we are as God's idea. God is bringing to us the vision of what the universe looks as like as mind idea, spirit idea, soul idea, principle idea, life idea, truth idea, love idea. God brings that to us. It isn't the condemnation of mortals that we have to till the ground. Really, if we were tuned into that all mind, we would see the world naturally as God sees it. But we have that, what is reality and how do I become one with reality? As we turn to the divine mind and open ourselves to the divine mind, it leads us through the synonym study of what mind is until we can identify ourselves with mind. So to us born of the flesh, in the phase transition, if we turn to the one mind as a parent mind to guide and lead us, it will guide and lead us out of a physical explanation, through a mental explanation, into the spiritual explanation of what the ideas of mind are, so we can identify with those ideas, what the ideas of spirit are, so we can identify with those ideas, what the ideas of soul, principle, life, truth, and love are, so we can identify with those ideas, so we can finally, on the 7th and 8,000 year period, take the view of the I am. But it's mind seeking the mind in us. It's always downward causation. It isn't because we were so smart that we seek God. It's because God seeks us. It makes us seek God. That's the model of being. So this morning I'd like to spend the time on that whole question. Is man the thinker? Do we think? Or are we the thought of God? And by seeing that we are the thought of God, that God is thinking us, that mind is thinking us and seeking the mind in us, that spirit is seeking the spirit in us, soul, principle, life, truth, and love is seeking the soul, principle, life, truth, and love in us. Through the law of the Christ and its translation and retranslation, we will see that this is a law in being. And to get us used to this way of reasoning with the model of being, we're going to spend this morning just looking at this law of the Word as life, which is life, truth, and love. Just want to talk about this law of the Word, especially on how life of divine science, that one life itself, is impelling the law of life, truth, and love in our life to think us as mind, to think us as spirit, to think us as soul, to think of us as principle, to think of us as life, to think of us as truth, to think of us as love. That whole non-linear development. You see, we are not thinking linear any longer. And in the world today, they're talking about these self-organizing, non-linear structures, as I mentioned last night, where the future is now, where the future determines the now, that downward causation, the initial condition determines what happens today. Now, that is thinking us. Now, this is a law, and I would like to show then how this law of life, truth, and love is thinking us as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. I'd like to do this through our reading together in a general way. Kapler's book, a little booklet on, Is Man the Thinker or the Thought of God? All right, so we take a look, as I said, at Kapler's work on man, the thinker, or the thought of God. And as I just mentioned before I turn off the cassette for a moment, that we'll read this together in a general way. By reading together, meaning we'll go over the main points of his booklet. That actually it's an article. I hope we can put it in as a booklet form. It has appeared in Ideas of Today in the past, and we also had it appear in one of our Issues in Science, but I would like to have it out as a little free literature booklet itself, or maybe sold too, however. But in here we always know that man is a generic term which includes male and female. We know in the world today that there is quite a movement, especially within the women's movement, to make sure that anytime we say man, we include it as a generic term. They like humankind better than mankind, etc., etc. I'm well aware of this, but to take up the use of the term in the Bible and science and health, we know that it then is that term which includes both male and female. We use it then generically. So Kapler asks in that article, does brain think? Is it so that we are within this body, in a brain, in this super computer, so to speak, within the skull that is doing the thinking? Is the brain an originator? Does man think, and does thinking originate in the brain? Now, we know that prior to evolution, there was life going on. There was a thinking universe going on, an intelligent universe programming the evolution from lifeless, featureless matter into finally the appearing in evolution of man in the human brain. So evolution is not dependent on the brain. Kepler shows, therefore, that the source of evolution, or we could say the initial condition, or the strange attractor that's attracting evolution forward, is non-human, in fact, pre-human. So just by the fact that there was evolution before man and the brain should let us know that something is going on that doesn't rely on the brain to think it out. Religionists have called this source or initial condition God, the creative power. In the world today, it's called proto-information. That's what they call as the prime information, the prime mover, they will call it. That's the creative power at work in the intelligent universe that thinks. In Christian Science, or what we would say in Christ Science, we call that God, the creative power, or that proto-information, the intelligent mind, the divine mind. And we say that that mind is already goal-directed, that that initial condition has within itself already the end from the beginning. It's teleological. It has a goal in view. And that's why we always take in Christian Science the end from the beginning. That's why when we go through the compendiums, Max is always tying together mind and love. Meaning that mind is creatively bringing out the plan of love, is creatively bringing out the optimum solution. It's the optimum solution, the highest solution is being brought out through evolution.